Chapter 7. As I reached the beach, my heart was pounding wildly. I felt like I couldn't breathe. I wondered if I could run back to the huts before Dr. Moreau and the others. But soon, I saw that they were behind me. Ahead, some more of Dr. Moreau's creatures came out from the forest. I was surrounded. Their voices shouted for me to stop, but I wouldn't give in. I turned and ran towards the shore. The sun was setting, and flashes of orange light touched the waves. It might look beautiful, but I was so frightened that I didn't notice. I stepped into the foamy water. Instantly, my feet felt cold, and I stepped deeper, wading out into the sea. "Stop," a voice came to me, but I didn't look back. The water was up to my knees, and waves lapped against me. I brushed my fingertips into the dark blue water and wondered what I would do. I could hear that Dr. Moreau, Montgomery, and the others were on the beach now, but I didn't stop. I kept wading out until the water reached my waist and then turned around. "What are you doing, man?" cried Montgomery. "I'm going to drown myself," I called. Dr. Moreau and Montgomery looked at each other. They looked surprised and confused. "Why?" called Dr. Moreau. "I'd rather die than be tortured by you," I called to them. Again, he looked surprised. "Why do you think I would torture you?" Dr. Moreau called. "Because of what I saw in your laboratory, and because of them," I said, pointing to the creatures, to Emling, the monkey man, the sayer of the law, and all the other misshapen men who lived on the island. "I don't want to be like them," I cried. "Shh," Dr. Moreau said. He held up his hand like he wanted me to stop speaking, but I didn't. "I won't be quiet. Look at them. They used to be men, but what are they now? What did you do to them? They are like animals, like beasts. You made them, yet you're afraid of them, aren't you? You've made monsters on this island." "I'd rather die than be like those creatures," I said, my voice full of emotion. I realized that I really would have to kill myself to escape. "Prendick, stop," Montgomery said and shook his head. I was upset that he was trying to defend Dr. Moreau. Montgomery had saved my life and been my friend, but now he wanted to help Dr. Moreau. It felt like a betrayal. Then Dr. Moreau called out to me. At first, I didn't understand because he spoke to me in Latin. I learned Latin in school, so I listened and understood when Dr. Moreau said it again. He said that the creatures were not men turned into animals. It was the opposite. They were animals he had tried to turn into men. I was astonished. I realized he used Latin so the creatures wouldn't hear and understand him. But now I understood perfectly. This was Dr. Moreau's work. He took animals and vivisected them. He cut them up and tried to make them into men. I also realized that this was why he encouraged the creatures not to behave like animals. This is why he had taught them not to walk on their hands and feet and why they shouldn't eat flesh or fish. He wanted them to become like men. But his science was not perfect, and it was clear that these creatures were not men. "Prendick, come on, man," Montgomery said. "I don't know what else to tell you, Prendick. I don't want to hurt you. Come ashore, and I can tell you more about my work and what I do," Dr. Moreau said. "That's a nice story," I said, laughing. "How can I trust you?" Dr. Moreau took something out of his pocket and dropped it onto the sand. I looked closely. It was a gun. "That's a loaded gun. Montgomery will drop his gun, too. Then you can come and take the guns. You won't be afraid if you have the weapons," Dr. Moreau said. Montgomery also took a gun from his pocket and laid it in the sand. "I still won't be safe," I said, slowly edging towards the shore. "Look, if we wanted to kill you, we would have done it already. I didn't ask you to come to my island, did I? You wanted to be saved, so we saved you. When you were sick, Montgomery gave you medicine to make you sleep. I could have killed you when you were sleeping. But I didn't. Don't you see? My interest is the animals, not you. You are nothing to me. And you're wasting my time. This is your imagination, Prendick. We are not a threat. Now, come out of the water, Dr. Moreau shouted, looking fed up. Come on, Prendick. It's the truth, Montgomery shouted. I trusted him, so I came to the shore. I had never liked or trusted Dr. Moreau, but felt I could trust Montgomery. If he said I was safe, I would come to shore. Walk up the beach, away from the guns, I shouted. I don't want to appear weak in front of the creatures, Dr. Moreau said, pointing to all the creatures standing on the beach. They were watching us with curiosity. Just a bit. Away from the guns, I shouted. They took a few steps back. I came out of the sea, and water dripped from my body and clothes. I bent down and picked up the guns, one in each hand. I nodded at Montgomery, who smiled at me. Dr. Moreau just shook his head. I've wasted enough time. Back to work, Dr. Moreau snapped as he walked up the beach. I followed behind, holding the guns. I was exhausted and wondered what would happen to me. We went back to the compound. Approaching the huts, I felt sick thinking about the noises I had the afternoon. Thankfully, all was quiet. Heard I went into my room and laid down on the bed. Montgomery in put his head around the door. Emling will make some food now, he said quietly. After that, you can talk with Dr. Moreau. He left me and went to help his servant. I lay on the bed with my eyes closed and thought about everything that had happened. Several times that day, I had nearly died, like when I fell into the ravine and when I went into the sea. It had been a stressful day, and I didn't know what would happen next. Emling brought me a plate of food, which I ate slowly. It is strange to do something ordinary, like eating a meal, when you have nearly died. I knew the food would support my body and make me feel better, so I ate it. After a while, I heard a knock at the door. It was Dr. Moreau. I looked beyond him and saw that the sun had set, and all was dark. Come in, I said. It's just me, Dr. Moreau said as he closed the door behind him. This room is too small for more than two. He looked at the chair that was lying on the floor. He could not use it because I had broken the chair leg and used it as a weapon. Dr. Moreau sighed and then went to the other chair and sat down. I'd like to tell you my story, Prendick. You need to understand. It seems you have some strange ideas about my work, and I want to tell you the truth. After this, I'm sure you'll understand. Then, we won't have any more silly outbursts from you, he said. I sat on the edge of the bed and kept the two guns next to me on the bedside table. I still did not trust Dr. Moreau. Dr. Moreau took a deep breath. I have been on this island for 11 years. Before that, I worked in London. I did that until I had to leave. My scientific experiments have been misunderstood for a long time, Prendick. You're not the first one. I came here to be alone and do my work in peace. I didn't want anyone disturbing me. Despite making significant strides over the years, London people remain reluctant to acknowledge me or my research until it achieves perfection, so I continue, he said. I thought about the pamphlet I had read many years ago. The Moreau horrors continued, but now, they were on this island. He continued his story. I aim to turn animals into humans. I am a scientific man, this is a story of science, not horror. Think about the different techniques I use, bone grafting, skin transplants, and blood transfusions. I'm not murdering these creatures, I'm using science. Think about what I have achieved. Think about the scientific surgeries you are comfortable with. Back home, doctors cut off growths, tumors, and other unwanted human body parts. Have you heard of tongue cutting? Splitting the tongue into two parts is something they do in some countries. An amputation. Cutting away parts of the human body, Dr. Moreau said. I interrupted him. But this is different. Doctors amputate limbs that are diseased or broken, they cut off growths and tumors which would kill the person, but your surgeries are not for this purpose. I said, aren't they? You don't know the meaning of my work. And anyway, it's not just the vivisection or the surgeries. I also alter them through hypnosis. I edit their body chemistries, emotional nature, and even their intelligence. Did you know that you can teach a pig? Yes, and different animals can learn a variety of things. I don't just change how they look, but also how they act, how they move, everything about them, Dr. Moreau explained. But these creatures talk. I said, yes, they talk because I taught them the words they use, and I taught them the moral law that they repeat. Like a mother teaching her child, I teach them. Like a man training his pet dog, I train them, Dr. Moreau said. But it doesn't last. Over the years, my experiments have gotten better and better. At first, many were failures. In recent years, I have had many successes, but no matter how good my creations are, they eventually return to their animal ways. Each day, they look more and more like animals. They lose their powers of speech and reason. So, I start again with a new experiment. I realized something about the animals in the cave. The monkey man, the sayer of the law, the sloth child, all of these were creations of Dr. Moreau's that had been discarded. Once he realized that his creatures would not be pure humans, he banished them to the cave. What happens to the old creatures when you start on a new one? I asked. They leave. They leave these huts and go where they all go, to that cave all by themselves. They're on their own. I don't interact with them after that. They lose their humanity bit by bit, and I have no interest in them, Dr. Moreau said. You abandon them? You take these animals and cut them up and make them human. You teach them how to act, talk, and feel like a real human. And then, when you're tired of them, you throw them away. How can you do that? I asked. They are not real humans. Like I said, they turn back to being animals. From that point on, my experiments have no use for me. I know Montgomery sometimes socializes with them, he talks to them, they eat together, but that's not for me. I need to focus on my work and try something else. Each one that I do is better than the last. I have high hopes for this puma, Dr. Moreau said. He stood up abruptly. Now, I have wasted enough time. Surely, you recognize the importance of my work and the painstaking effort it takes to craft each creature. This puma will undoubtedly be my masterpiece. I've wasted an entire day searching for you and an hour explaining my work. I won't make that mistake again. If you're not content, you're free to end your own life, he stated, indicating the guns. Now, I must get back to my work. I sat on the bed with my mouth open, speechless.